across an interesting piece in The Hill about news outlets and these legacy news stations like ABC, NBC, places like that. And it grabbed me by the headline. Will the obvious established media finally learn its lessons in 2026? A Marist poll towards the end of last year showed that America's trust in media is around 28%, which is a stunning number, a stunning number. And then you look at some of the things that have happened recently, like a YouTuber went to Minnesota and broke open this story about fraud, which now the mayor of Minneapolis says is real and it's something that they need to grapple with. So there is a distrust in the media. Feels like people feel like they're not getting the best information. They're getting slanted or biased information. And as a result, how do they factor into what is going to be a consequential midterm election? Jeffrey McCall is a professor of communications at DePaul University and joins us this morning. Professor, it's good to have you.
Thank you very much.
What prompted you to write this? Was it that Marist number that showed the trust in the institutional media has just deteriorated?
Well, there are a number of polls out in the last couple of years that show about this declining credibility in the media. And this has been going on for a while now. I mean, I think that maybe a lot of us are thinking, hey, this just started a year or two ago, or maybe when Trump first became president, when he became a media basher. But this decline in media credibility has been underway for 20 to 25 years, and it seems to be accelerating. And one of the things we found here is that people who don't trust the media, the establishment media, as I like to call them, will not absorb that messaging anymore. They will not go to those places. So what we've seen happen is the people who don't trust the media, don't have any confidence in it, are not going to believe it or absorb that information. They're going to go to other places. And the other places, you know, could be podcasters. Some of those would be productive and helpful. But they're going to a lot of places on social media. They're going to listen to some guy at the end of the bar. They're not getting reliable information. And honestly, another problem is that a number of news consumers actually stop consuming news. So we have a number of citizens who, since they can't trust the established sources anymore, become what we call news bystanders, which means they don't absorb news anymore and they'd rather be just out in the cold than to try to follow the news. There are consequences for that. We have an uninformed citizenry then, and we have people who go to the polls to exercise their right to vote, but they're not necessarily well informed on the issues.
Right, so they're not able to get any of this information anywhere.
Yeah, they would rather be out in the cold. They would rather be uninformed than to try to sit through media content or media narratives that they think are biased. Or are talking down to them. And I think that's one of the problems with the establishment media is that they become activism kinds of organizations. They believe in advocacy, and the public is speaking back to them. And you talked about the polls, the Marist polls. There are other ones from Gallup and Rasmussen reports and places like that, which shows that the news media has turned, or excuse me, the citizenry has turned on the news media, and you know, they don't trust them anymore. And so therefore, they're going to go to other places or bag out of the news industry altogether and be uninformed. And none of that is very good for a country that is self-governing. And we want the citizens to make decisions at the polls.
Professor, the president routinely attacks the press and he sues news organizations, and some outlets have settled rather than fight. But what message does that send about the media's confidence in itself?
Well, that's a great point. You know, the president routinely bashes the media organizations, and they, when they get sued, they want to settle outside of court rather than to go ahead and fight on First Amendment grounds. And that's a point I make in the column, is that on First Amendment grounds, these media organizations are on pretty solid footing. And we have a Supreme Court in place, which has been very friendly to First Amendment issues and very friendly to the news organizations. And so I would be surprised if these got pushed very far down the court system, that the news organizations would not prevail on First Amendment grounds. And, you know, there was a big flap in the election about the editing at 60 Minutes of the Kamala Harris interview. Mm-hmm. Well, 60 Minutes has every right to edit that thing however they want to. And when CBS settled for that, I thought, well, they're just basically caving into the pressure that is coming from the White House. And not to say that Trump didn't have some concerns to be raised, but not in the legal sense or not in the First Amendment sense, because the First Amendment is very broad in protecting reporters' rights. And I think news organizations need to step up, defend the First Amendment. But I also think they need to be more transparent to let the public and the news consumers know on what basis they're making editorial decisions and journalistic judgments. And I think the news organizations really need to try to listen to the audience out there and say, we're going to provide these people information and facts, and we're not going to try to talk down to them or provide narratives or advocacy, because the public is speaking, but the news industry is not listening very well.
I'm going to quote you from your piece here. It says, it is safe to say most parents won't be encouraging sons and daughters into a career path with less prestige than a used car salesman. Take a little umbrage to that. I went to the Medill School of Journalism, and I think there's value in learning the craft of journalism, something these podcasters do not have.
Well, you make a really great point, and I don't want to disparage all the people in the news industry. Certainly, this is not a baby with the bathwater kind of thing. News industry people, many of them are very dedicated. But on the other hand, journalism schools have drifted themselves in recent years, where we now have courses, you know, where we talk about creative nonfiction, for example. There are courses like that in journalism schools. And I'm thinking, you know, if you're talking about nonfiction, it's not creative. It needs to be fact-based. And, you know, the enrollments in journalism schools are in decline. There are fewer young people who are interested in going into journalism, which is a noble profession. But I think it's safe to say that what used to be a more noble profession, and I think in this day and age, we need to have bright young people, but they might not all necessarily come from journalism schools. And I think that's one of the points I'm trying to make here, is that we might want to get somebody who's a history major or a philosophy major or something like that,
sure.
And that we get people with a broad range of perspectives who are not coming from journalism schools. And I would also say to the journalism schools, by the way, I did my graduate work at the University of Missouri, Columbia, where they have a very prominent journalism mm-hmm. school, as you know. And I think the journalism schools themselves need to do some introspection to try to figure out, are we preparing people in the best way?
Sure. So that when they get into those positions, they can ask the right questions of our elected leaders. Interesting article, Jeffrey McCall. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it. 8 o'clock hour coming up. It's JR Morning.